Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of A Christmas and the Confession of Peter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
I'm a simple guy. I try and understand complicated things, but I always come back to the simple things. And the simple thing for me as a preacher, and I think about this virtually every time I step into the pulpit, I think about what am I supposed to be doing here in the simplest possible terms. You know, preaching isn't rocket science. Preaching a sermon, it may take a lot of work, it may take a lot of preparation, but it's not a complicated thing. You don't have to know a lot of communication theory. You don't have to understand a lot of the highfalutin ideas about how people speak or how people understand language or the culture and all those things. If you want to go study that, more power to you. Preaching a sermon is as simple as the words of Christ. And he speaks these words to his first preachers. He says, thus it is written, this is Luke chapter 24, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise again from the dead. And here is his charge to his first preachers, and I think to me as a preacher and to your preacher every time they step into the pulpit, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You know, it began in Jerusalem, and this last Sunday I stepped into the pulpit, and that passage was on my mind. What am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, that suffering, crucified, risen Savior, every Sunday, every sermon. And when we do a sermon review here, we hold all of our preachers, everybody who we drag in here and play their sermons, good or bad, we hold them all to exactly the same standard, that which was set down by Christ. We have a three-part sermon diagnostic. We'll be reviewing a sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And this coming Sunday is the end of the church year. The world waits to end its year at the end of December. The church ends its year on its own calendar this coming Sunday. And this is one of the appointed readings, the gospel reading, so common, so traditional for that, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And our three-part diagnostic is the same. It is, number one, how often is Jesus mentioned? And if you're listening, what you want to do is keep a simple running tally of how often you hear Jesus, explicitly Jesus, not just some reference to the deity or to God, but Jesus mentioned. Just, you got your pencil there in your pew. You can just keep a little tally. Mark how many times you hear him mentioned. He should be mentioned all the time, if your preacher is doing what Christ has commanded him to do. Second part of the diagnostic is, if Jesus is mentioned often, if he's all over the sermon, then ask yourself this question. Is Jesus running the verbs? Is he the one doing in this sermon? Simple grammar. And if Jesus is the subject of the verbs, that is the one doing the action, go to part three, and that is, what are the verbs? What is your preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? And they should be the verbs of Scripture. Not the verbs from his own imagination, but the verbs of Scripture. And remember, this is that the Christ should suffer and die and on the third day rise. Those are the kind of verbs you should be hearing in a good, Christ-centered, cross-focused sermon. So with that, let's start our sermon review. It's Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The last Sunday of the church year, this coming Sunday, the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
10 virgins, one for each of the holy commandments, all asleep when they should be watching. They all have the veneer of purity, and yet all fail to stay awake to perform their duties. 5 virgins, one for each book of Moses, have oil, and 5, in a satanic parody of all that is good, have none. The midnight call finds all of them wanting. None of them are good enough. But some are wanting more than others because some had hope and others did not. They had arrived in the daylight. The bridegroom was expected after dark. That's why they brought lamps. Why then did five of them not bring oil? Their foolishness was not an ignorance of what lamps require in order to burn. Their foolishness was that, and they thought the bridegroom would either never come or the bridegroom didn't really care. The important thing wasn't that they were ready, that they light his path. That was just old-fashioned silliness. Certainly, the bridegroom would understand that they didn't need to be bothered with such details. Keep back thy servant, O Lord, from presumptuous sins. There is nowhere on this dismal plain a place so drear as that where the fools stand too late, despondent, shut out from the kingdom as the terrifying truth is spoke. I do not know you. Now the fools have oil. Now they call him Lord. Now they bend their knee and bow their heads, say their prayers and ask to come in. But it is too late.
All right, when we come back, we'll pick up right there in this sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson. Jesus says, repentance and forgiveness of sins preached in his name. So you're hearing a little bit of the repentance part from the mouth of Jesus himself. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll be right back with more sermon review.
The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2012, and we're $70,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, doing a little sermon review here in the last 10 minutes of the program. It's a sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson for the last Sunday of the church year. That's this Sunday coming up on this Monday afternoon, November the 19th. It's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, and we're in the repentance part. We're in the judgment part, the it's too late, the door is closed, and you're outside weeping and gnashing your teeth part. That's where Jesus leaves us in this parable so far. Let's keep listening for Jesus and the verbs, and keep asking, what are those verbs?
And he replies with perfect simplicity, honestly, without any malice at all. The harshest, coldest words the Lord can say. I do not know you. Hell is not the threat of an exhausted mother in the grocery store who never carries through. Hell is the place where men get what they deserve. It is the place of justice. Now, the ancient pagans imagined without exception cruel, fickle gods. They were full of wrath and mischief. They could never be fully appeased, but at least those ancient pagans knew enough to try. Throw a virgin into the volcano, bury a living child. Somehow, we've got to make up for our sins. Consider Ra in Egypt, the Minotaur on Crete, or the strange child blood hungry gods of Germany. But modern man has imagined entirely new deities, too nice to ever get angry or carry through. The pagans, the modern pagans, imagine a god who is soft and cuddly, who likes everyone, who never gets caught up in facts or deeds, and certainly never doctrine. He's above all things nice, and he likes us. Perhaps he doesn't like racism or intolerance. Maybe he's big on the environment. But he's still nice. He still wants everyone to be happy, and he brings everyone to that eternal shore, despite their works, despite their faith, despite their sins. Both ancient and modern pagans are wrong, of course, but the ancients were closer to the truth. Perhaps because they lived on earth as creatures and were not so deluded by technology, not so sheltered from the violence of nature or the unpredictability of the harvest. Repent. The five who entered in by grace were no better than those who were shut out. They had also slept. They had grown lazy in the watch. And they had toyed with the thought that maybe the bridegroom was not coming. Or maybe they could sleep safely, repent later, somehow be awakened in time and get away with it. Of course, in a sense, they do. That's always the great irony of grace. They get away with it in the sense that they are not held accountable for their sins. It's as though they'd been there with burning lamps all night. Not in the sense that God doesn't care, but in the simple fact that the Lord in His mercy provides all that is necessary for them, and they get credit for His works, for His faithfulness. For He never slumbers or sleeps, and He watches over them. Despite their sin, the wisdom of these wise virgins is that they knew why they were there. They had faith. It may have wavered, they may have doubted, and certainly they sinned, but they still believed, they still hoped that the bridegroom that would come, that he would keep his word. Now, faith, to be sure, is a virtue. St. Paul describes it as such in 1 Corinthians. It is a virtue like unto love and hope. But now, who among us, when his heart breaks, St. Francis style, because he looks through the window and sees a cat limping across the street with a BB embedded in his leg, then thinks, ah, there, I've had sympathy on a cat, I've done good work. That is precisely the way that faith moves, that love is, what compassion and kindness are, a desire for justice and mercy that are spontaneous, that are not planned, and in a sense are not examined. You are against the torture of cats. That is not only because you yourself have known some pain and suffered at the hands of cruel boys, but because you know that you have been lifted beyond this, that you have received and enjoyed good things you do not deserve. Faith is a virtue, a good work. We are commanded to believe. And if we do not believe, then we sin and we are condemned for it. But faith is not a work that we perform as an exercise of our will, nor can it handle much scrutiny. For it rises up in us mainly unbidden, like sympathy for a limping cat. And if we start to examine its character too closely, it gets weird and maybe even destroyed. We are like children without any real awareness of the mortgage or the utility bills. Children think that the places where they sleep are their houses. That is faith. In the same way, we are like children who simply expect that dad will come home at night after work and love mom. That is faith. It is only when something is terribly broken, perverted, wrong, that children worry about where they will sleep, or bankers, or utilities, or consider the possibility that dad might not come home or might abandon them. We never think of those things when it comes to God because we live by faith. But if we start to examine them too closely, we create doubt. The foolish virgins simply expect dad will come home and love mom. That's what he's promised to do, and they believe it without examination. The foolish virgins imagine themselves to be sophisticated in their cynicism, but they are simply evil. They are not so naive as us, perhaps, but their thoughts and cynicism are utterly inappropriate for children, and they destroy faith. Faith is trust, an expectation, a belief. We believe that God is good, that he loves us despite our sins, that he has been sacrificed he has sacrificed himself upon the cross in order to win us back, to substitute his holy life for our sinful lives, to satisfy his Father's wrath and reconcile us to himself, to forgive all of our sins. We believe that he is risen from the dead on our behalf, that he has defeated Satan, death, and hell for us in his body, and that he joins us to himself in that same risen body as a pledge and a token of our own future resurrections. We believe that even as he comes now in his risen body in the Holy Supper, he will come again in his body on the last day and give eternal life to all who believe in him. This is what we are waiting for. We are like children who understand that our houses are our houses because the Lord has given them to us, that he will come back and that he will love the church, our mother, that he will love and be faithful to us because he always has been and he has said that he will continue to be. Our faith is not perfect. We have fallen asleep and given into our flesh. Listen to the voice of false brothers who scoff and whisper that God is a lie, been tempted by the idea of sophistication and cynicism, considered the possibility that the Lord might be unfaithful to us, that he might not come back. And yet, here we are again, proclaiming his death, singing his praise, kneeling before him for the absolution and the benediction. The Lord himself has brought us here in his mercy, has done what we could never do, has caused faith to well up in us spontaneously. Good. Whatever mixed motives we might have, the Lord is good and is faithful and steadfast, and he fills our lamps. He encourages our souls. He forgives our sins. There is nothing sadder, more broken, more perverted and wrong, more unnatural than the Lord saying to human beings, I do not know you. But so also is the opposite true. There is nothing better, nothing more wonderful, nothing more joyous, nothing more true, nothing more natural and in the order of creation than the Lord saying not simply, I know you, but calling you by name in the waters of holy baptism and placing his own name upon you and promising, I won't forget you. It turns out you're more than simply virgins lighting the path to the bridal chamber. The bridegroom comes without a bride and beckons you to come on in and be his own. Holy, immaculate, chaste bride, washed in his blood, sanctified by his grace, and kept for the Father. In Jesus' name.
Every single time I listen to David Peterson preach, I get something I never got before. And I don't know if you caught that. If he's talking about the nature of faith. And he says, it's like children who have no real awareness of the mortgage or the light bill or the utility bill. They think the house is theirs. They don't know They don't know what it takes. They simply trust that dad will come home and love mom. That is faith. I love that picture of faith. Children have everything done for them, and they receive it, sometimes even aware of its great cost. We have that great cost in Jesus Christ, our Savior. His blood has paid for all of it. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Mark Neble of St. John Lutheran Church in Red Bud, Illinois, our pastor's roundtable about the coming of the Son of Man, the lesson of the fig tree, and no one knows the day or the hour. We'll also discuss David and Jonathan with Pastor Tom Baker. Craig Feidinger, our director of business operations, informs us that we are $70,000 short of making our budget this year, and we have 6 weeks to go in our financial year here at Issues Etc. That means that we need your help, as we have often asked at the end of the year, for your help making our budget. That's all we ask to do, is make our budget. For any size year-end tax-deductible donation, we will send you a CD of two of my sermons, one for Christmas, as usual, the other one for the Confession of St. Peter. We'll also send you a two-CD set of Lutheran service book hymns and services for any size gift before the end of the year to help us make budget. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening. Thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of this year. I'll talk with you tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.